Blog Talk Radio.
About bringing some outstanding discussion to you tonight through Talking Real to You. I am the host, Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, and so excited to come again on Marvelous Monday. As we say, we get a chance to come from the weekend to a first day, not the first day of the week, but a Monday, what most folks consider to be their work day. So again, I'm so excited to come in. Now, call-in number is 347-857-4192. Now, if you want to go to the blog, to the web link to hear the show as a Blog Talk Radio show, is www.blogtalkradio.com/the Smith Wade Production. So I'm just telling you, I'm so excited. You know, I'm just kind of stumbling around right now because, you know, this is Marvelous Monday. God gives us an opportunity again to see another day. So we ought to give him praise. We ought to be happy. They want to be excited because this is a way that we can get the word out. You know, our title tonight is Tell Us What You Think. So we're going to have some topics that we feel like is going to be exciting that you should share a part in. So make sure you get on that line and call. And when you, if you got any comments or questions, what I'll ask you to do is press 1, and then I'll allow you to come in and tell you your, tell us your, what you're thinking, what's on your mind. That's after I identify your last 4 digits of your cell number. So, again, this is Talking Real to You. And if you want to tweet the show, you can go to if you want to tweet the show, you can go to Talking Real to You at Lorenza D. Smith 15 at Coach, that's with a K, underscore L, underscore Smith. And you can make sure you connect in that way. Or you can go to our email, which is talkingrealtoyou@gmail.com or LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com. Now, just keep in mind what the brand is that deals with this show, Talking Real to You. It is the only father and daughter blog talk radio show in the country. And what we do, we bring energetic conversation about political, social, economic, educational, financial, as well as just plain old life issues. So we got some on tonight. We're going to talk about it. But before I do that, I have my team, and I'm so glad and I'm truly blessed to have these young people that's with me. They're excited about sharing their thoughts, and we come at you every other Monday, and I'm going to start off entry because we had full force tonight. We're ready to go tonight. We're going to make it do what it do on Talking Real to You. Let me start off introducing that first person. This we're going to let the young come before the ones of wisdom. So we'll start off with the daughter that makes up this father-daughter blog talk radio team. None other than Lauren D. Smith. How you doing, Lauren?
I'm fine. I'm very excited to be back on Monday night. I've kind of been missing it. But I'm here today, and I'm ready to go ahead and get a popping.
Well, you know, we've been praying, and we know you have some challenges. You're working hard, and you're sounding in good spirits now. You know, God do some great things. We all start praying and sending them up. He starts sending them blessings down. Lord, we're glad to have you. And next we have here, and I'm so excited to have this young lady as well, and our lady of wisdom, they're special. Hails from the state of South Carolina. None other than Greenville, South Carolina. Scarlett H. Black. How you doing, Scarlett?
I'm doing fine tonight. It's good to have Coach Smith back. I'm glad she's doing well and glad to be on tonight with you. So glad to be here.
Awesome. Awesome to have you, Scarlett. And we're just so excited to have the team in full force. But this person may be called out last, but she's not least. This young lady hails from the state of Georgia, just said the surrounding Atlanta area. None other than the Dr. Olivia E. Smith. How you doing, Doc?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, man, awesome, awesome. We're glad to be here. So like I said, it's a truly blessed day because it's Marvelous Monday. And our title for the show is Tell Us What You Think. We want you to make sure you call in so you can share your thoughts. And the call-in number, again, is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll recognize your last 4 digits of your cell. Then I'll ask you to give your comments and your question. If you feel comfortable, give us your name and your location. All right, let's get started, team. Tell us what you think. You know, when that came across, you know, I was thinking in my mind, I said, tell us what you think. What the people thinking about these topics? And we're going to start off with some topics in education. And I want us to share our thoughts in regards to something that's occurring recently, and other states are moving toward this as well. The state of Alabama legislature decided to repeal the Common Core. And for those not sure, the Common Core is what we use the basis on what we're going to meet, our reading, our arithmetic, our math, or either our writing, our signs. We got to have standards. There are basic standards that we must follow, that children must accomplish certain paths so we can feel like they'll be successful. Alabama's talking about repealing them. I mean, getting rid of them. They ain't said what they're going to replace it with. Everybody say they're working on it, but the legislature did vote to repeal it. Tell me what you think about it, team. Tell me what you think about this state moving toward repealing or replacing Common Core in education.
Who's going first?
All right, who's going to jump in here? Let's jump in. Let's get it started.
I'll go ahead and go. Mine's going to be real quick.
Okay, Laura.
So I don't really know about, you know, Northern Alabama, but I just know for a fact down here in Central Alabama, if they getting rid of Common Core, that might be the best thing to happen to some of these kids around here. And I'm going to say it like this, because me and Dr. Smith were talking about this. Me and my dad, we were talking about this, and we were saying, you know, maybe whatever they replace it with, maybe it could be on more of the technical side so kids can kind of get hands-on, because a lot of these kids around this area are not going to school. Let's just be totally honest with it. A lot of them are not going to school. So if they can kind of pick up a trade while they're in high school, I know Montgomery has impact, but if we can get that across Alabama, maybe I will set our kids up for a successful future, because right now it's like either you're going to college or you're going to the military. The trade is not really being pushed in the schools because we're preparing them for college, and a lot of these kids aren't going. So get rid of Common Core, I think it might be a positive rather than a negative.
Awesome, awesome.
I think because of the, I agree, and I think because of the cost factor with Common Core, there's a tremendous debate that's been going on in this state. And also, I think I mentioned when we met 2 weeks ago that there's a lot of talk about sweeping education reforms here in South Carolina. And I do know that Common Core, another reason it was designed was to make sure that if you moved from state to state, the same standards you know, would be in place. However, all the states did not adopt Common Core when it was first mentioned, and it became a political hot potato. And I think because it's been so politicized, where there are some good benefits that could have come out of it, it's become such political bugaboo that now when you talk about it, it's become a campaign slogan, get rid of Common Core, that type of stuff. And men, the folks that talk about it, are usually non-educators and legislators who have no clue what happens in our public schools now. I see it as a way of being divisive and to give more impetus or more solidarity to those who would like to have charter school movement and money poured from the public schools into charter schools. And I really do think that has in some areas what has occurred, and I know it has occurred in this area because of that. So that, along with Coach Smith, I really do agree with most of what she said, too, about the reason why I'm not in favor of it. I think that we should look at all of our state standards and make sure that our children, regardless of where they are being taught effectively, and nothing beats that than an effective teacher inside the classroom. They have to know their curriculum, they have to know their teaching skills, and then on top of that, they have to be able to reach children. You can have the best state standards and the best this going across the country, but if you still got people that can't deliver instruction and make it to the point that children want to learn, and that they're imposing this to kids, that they really care about kids learning, it's got to be a two-way thing. Kids have got to want to learn, but also the teachers we all have to make sure as educators that we're providing an environment where it's conducive to learning and that we're putting out our best each and every day. Unfortunately, that is not consistent in our schools.
Awesome, awesome. And great talk. Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to add their thoughts on that right there? If not, I'll jump in right here if you allow me to do this. I'm going to tell you one thing I concern myself with. I like to go back to the basic. You know, and for the people who are listening to the show for the first time, all of our the co-hosts and the hosts and our experts understand that we have a theory that we believe that the way we're going to be successful in everything we deal with, we must take it block by block, family by family, school by school. And one of the things we're having here is that we can't come to a common ground on anything because we don't know where we want to go with our young people. We don't know whether we want to prepare them to be successful and how to go about preparing them to be successful. So Common Core has been in existence, and it was put into effect, as you know, you can go back with federal government trying to make sure we all was on the same page. If I leave the state of Alabama and go to South Carolina, it shouldn't be much different in way the lesson is delivered and how I'm attaining the knowledge when it's being delivered to me. However, it seems to get to a point now that we have gotten away from it with all the technology we have now, all the new things that we have available, and we have forgot about going back to the basics. I personally believe, and I was telling Lord another day, that let's get back to the three R's. We can get back to the reading, the writing, and the arithmetic. And we can say it like you want to say it, country or not, but if a child cannot read and doing that process of comprehending, understanding vocabulary, understanding to structural sentence, he will not be successful because he's not going, or she will not be able to read an application to fill it out when they become adults or come in the workforce. We've got to get back to teaching our young people, even though we got different kind of vehicles to teach them now. You know, one of the questions, and Dr. Smith asked this question recently about textbooks. She asked the question about, do they not have textbooks in school anymore? We have textbooks, but because, and I'm going to use the state of Alabama, because we have so many prorated years that one of the first thing they cut out to save money was textbooks. So each That's class true. Have a classroom copy. And if a person mm-hmm. wants to take that copy home, he has to sign out like it's always mm-hmm. been and be responsible mm-hmm. for it. Because if you lose it and don't bring it back and don't replace it, somebody going to be short in the next class. Because we chose doing proration many years ago, but I'm going to go back to 2008. A lot of things happened, the stock market crash. A lot of things happened in 2008. And when we chose to take textbooks out of the classroom where they can take home. Now, you have them for classroom, so I'm going to call them reference books. That's all they are. And we chose to use software. We chose to purchase software now instead of using what we can use and what's been where students can learn because they'll see it over and over again. So we're taking that out of the classroom so our children are not able to read, not able to do the necessary things to be successful.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. And also, we've taken out the homework. And as a principal, I had to, you know, really fight against that because kids need to have reinforcement. And all of a sudden, there was a mandate of how much homework they could do each night by grade level and by age. Well, by, you know, grade level, your age, that type of thing. And that's part of reinforcement. You know, we ask the teachers to just give them samples. You know, don't give a kid 100 problems, but, you know, sample the concepts that you're trying to get them to understand or learn and, you know, do that. But we've lost a lot. And where the Common Core was, you know, a way of trying to also assess college readiness, and I like what Coach Lauren said, you know, about the career part of that because every child – may not want to go to a college or a university. And for some reason in this country, we've gotten away from the dignity of working with our hands, minds, and things like this because nowadays, you know, if you take your car to your car dealership or get your car repaired, those folks in those car dealerships and car repair shops, are using latest technologies. They're using as well as their hands. I mean, they really have to know their stuff. And so somehow we've gotten away from the fact that vocational education and career education is still a fantastic way of making a living, even more so. I know how much man charges me per hour. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, they make money. And so we got to get back to that, you know, all work is dignity, and that whether you go to a community college or vocational school or whatever, you know, you can still make a fantastic living outside the four-year college and university program. But I just wanted to end with this on the subject in light of what just happened recently in terms of the who's ready for college and the university level. We now see what happens with that, with people buying their, you know, kids' way in the schools and paying, taking spots from children and young people who've actually worked hard to earn those spots and didn't have anyone to just buy their way into the top universities in this country. So I think we're getting ready now to see a big overhaul, a big evolution of education in this country because of this big scandal that's there now. And Common Core is going to be a part of that, because that was one design, was to see who's ready for the next highest level. Well, were they really, or did they just buy their way in?
Awesome, awesome. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you, Scarlett, you're hitting things on the head. Because I was in a conversation at a workshop I've been with the Historical Black College and University, the HBCUs, and we was dealing with some things with the National Education Association. We've been in conference the last 2 days and got two more days, and I'll be heading to Nashville for another conference for a few more days, then Atlanta. You know, just trying to get some, you know, being in the right place to find out what's going on. You know, it's there, but my problem is we change so much. We can't take something and keep it. And it doesn't matter about who's in a, is an educational, national education person, or local, or superintendent, that we take this, regardless it came out 10 years, and build on it. Because once a child gets accustomed to something now, we want to change. And now we got to start all over again. We always say we're not rigorous. You know, we can take what's already in place and make it rigorous. But as Lauren said about career readiness, I think we should move to a college and career readiness. And one of the things we talked about today is about having students ready to be successful. And it's not always going to college. But just keep in mind, no field that you go in, as Scarlett said about her car, that individual don't have to go to a college. Now, it may be a community college, a technical college, or a training program. Now, your more efficient companies have training all the time, and I think that's where we're missing in meaningful training, if y'all understand. I know even in education we have workshops. We have a lot of workshops. But a lot of time we want to make sure it's meaningful, that we're going to take something back to our school or to our district and share it with our young people so our young people can be successful. So we're at a time, a crucial time now, and we're going to have to either come up with a decision and move in a direction that's going to be successful. I think we're caught up in politics, and I think that's where the country's being divided. We know that. Politics, instead of focusing on what's good for our children. I know better about
and
the
I
children.
I'm
location. Yeah. Go ahead, Oscar. Call it.
No, I was just going to say that I think that we've talked for several weeks on this show about, you know, the block by block and not waiting for someone to come and save us. My big concern, in addition to what is being taught, is how it's being taught. And in addition to the what, the how, I'm very concerned about who it's being taught by. And I need for parents, our parents, all of us, community people, to really be aware of what is happening in our schools. Who is up in front of our children, teaching them day by day. They're there 7.5 hours a day and then home the rest of the hour. So there's a big chunk of a child's day is in school. Who is in front of our children? What are they teaching and how are they teaching it? Are they just putting kids on computers all day long, never having any dialogue or interaction with the children? You can have all kind of common core standards you want to, but if you don't have a live body up there in that room who knows what they are doing and trying to ensure that these children are getting an understanding, and the test scores, you know, are showing that, that something is amiss here. Something is not connecting. And we've got to get back to that human element. I'm like you. I'm a big believer in technology, but technology is not the wherewithal. It's not the end game. You still got to have that human contact and that understanding of what you are trying to impart to that child. And I'm getting concerned now about who is teaching our kids.
Exactly, exactly. Dr. Smith, do you want to share anything in regards to that?
When you say who is teaching our kids, are you concerned about the quality of education that that person brings into the classroom or other
I'm characters? Concerned about the quality of the person because I just see so many things in social media, children being dragged down the hall by the hair.
Okay.
People who are I don't want to just use labels. I'll just say a nationalist or whatever, and those views being brought into the classroom. I'm just concerned, and the more I read, the more concerned I get. And I hope these are just isolated incidents, but we're in a different era now. We're in a different time, and we just need to be aware of the quality of the people in the classroom who are teaching our kids. And, I'm talking from, you know, just recently, haven't been that long ago, left as the principal of a school. And I was concerned, having concerns then.
Great, great.
And once they're hired, it's kind of hard to, you know, it's really very difficult to terminate once they're hired. And sometimes the hiring decision is not at the local level. It could be, you know, at another level, you know, somebody's being sent to you that you know nothing about, opportunity to even have a decision in the hiring process. They were just sent.
Yes, yes.
These types of things.
Yeah. So, as doctors, okay, go ahead on, Doc.
I was saying I agree with what she's saying.
Awesome. And I'll tell you. Because, you know, it's, quality means a whole lot. You see, who you putting up there in front of this student? And as I talk about moving in some direction, because I work with student teachers to get prepared to go in front of young people. So I get an opportunity to kind of train them and try to get them in a position and then prepare them for what you call the EdTPA, which is a vehicle put together or a utensil put together to prepare them through a certain areas or certain tasks. This is three tasks for secondary and in your normal area, then your elementary ed as well as physical education. You have four tasks that they have to learn. But we have a call on the line. I want to let this caller share their thoughts. And the last four digits is 6103. Caller, you are now live. Tell us who you are and your location, then you can join in with the conversation. Hello. Hello. I think our caller might be traveling.
Hello?
I think I have you now, caller. How are you doing, caller? Hello? I think our connection is not good. You may have to give it a try back again and see can we get it because we keep losing you. I don't know whether you can hear me or not. But We're gonna move forth, and when that caller is able to get that corrected, they'll be able to come back and share their thoughts. Now, let's kind of go, and I think they hung up, so they're going to try to give a call back. Let's kind of move to, as we talk about Common Core and having things that move toward quality excellence, let's look at whether or not these things that we're doing now in education, as I wrote in this, is just a question. Are our teaching, let's go back to what Scarlett said about who we put in front of our children and what they're teaching. Are we teaching our children to be poor? And we had this earlier a while ago, but as we see things begin to change, even at this Secretary of Education, tell me your thoughts on it. Are we really preparing our students to be successful, or are we preparing them how to deal with in that economic area that everybody wants to make sure everybody have an opportunity to not be at, but is we teaching them to be poor? Tell me your thoughts on that, and that can go several different ways.
And I guess so my question is to you, in terms of what do you mean in terms of being poor? Poor in which way? Poor economically?
We'll say poor economically. Poor economically. Yeah.
Okay. I think Dr. Olivia was going to say something.
No, that was me. Was that you?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be real quick. I think it's that we prepare our kids how to survive. I don't think we prepare them how to be successful, and that's the problem. If you prepare people how to survive, then all they know is basically that. They have no academic knowledge of any sort. They just know how to, I'm going to be honest, they don't know how to get it. They don't know the steps it takes to get it, but they just know how to get it. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I think
understand.
We're preparing them
yeah.
in that sense. I don't think we're preparing them to be successful, and I see that a lot. Like, it's kids now that don't know how to count money, and I'm not talking about, like, dollars and nickels. Like, do not know how to take out tips. Do not know how much to leave a waitress. Do not know about a savings account. Don't know how to write a check. Don't know how to fill out a money order. That, in my opinion, that's stuff you need to be successful. But I guarantee you, they know how to finesse their way through an assignment. They know how to throw something together. They know how to just barely pass. And I don't necessarily think that's the teacher's fault when it comes to that. I think it's really the parents' fault. But I don't think that we need to teach our kids how to be successful, not just to survive. Because in a minute, you know, surviving is not going to be what's going to get us to the next level as African Americans.
That's great, great. Not
to
cut anybody off. Hold your thought, because the caller did call back. I want to give him a chance to say share his thoughts with us. That's 6103. We now have you live. Tell us who you are and your location, sir.
Yes, sir. My name is David. I'm calling out from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Thanks for taking my call.
Awesome. All right, David.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Briefly, you mentioned the head of the Department of Education. I know if you're aware of the policy that's being put out there, the option about doing school choice. Just wondering if you're aware of that and
yes.
what you thought about it.
Yes.
Truly, we talked about that a few weeks ago.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We
and
did.
School
we
choice.
Covered that.
Yes. And Scarlett was sharing that she's a former educator. So we're kind of like, we look at school choice as some cases a way to eliminate, in essence, public schools. In some cases, I'm not saying totally. Now, I'm for a child having a choice, but we know we get a free and appropriate education. We do know that through the public setting. But there are some situations where our children are not having an opportunity to be successful, but getting a chance to be, you know, successful in another form, another fashion, another institution outside of the institution we're in. We thought that, and I'll say from my point of view, I can't speak for my other co-hosts. I just believe having an opportunity to have another choice being able to put in a setting to be successful is what we're all about. We want our children to be successful in our community. And you can share your thoughts on that as well, sir.
Yeah, no, I think you guys, you brought up a great point. I think the resistance, I feel like, is due to the fact of it's coming from this current administration. And I feel like people are allowing mm-hmm. that to cloud their judgment on the basis of the idea of being good or not. And to your point, I feel like there's nothing else more powerful than allowing parents, especially in inner city areas that are going to bad, sending the children to bad public schools, who can't afford to send their children to a private school or a charter school, to give them that option to take the federal funding and state funding that would have went to the public school and have that applied to a private tuition is huge. Because depending on what state you're in, you're talking about anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 a year. And then that's a lot of money. And so nothing could be better to try to change the whole trajectory of young black men and women from potentially being stuck in a bad school with a negative criminal element that, you know, peer pressures them into self-destructive behavior versus getting out of it, going to a good school, getting a good education, probably being able to go to a good college, being financially stable, and then that has a huge ripple effect. Because now, especially if you get young men to get, be able to have solid jobs and make decent money, it'll help them be more responsible, which will lead them to be better fathers, be better providers of the home, yet get more stable families. And the domino effect can go, will have an impact for generations to come. So I think as a people, we got to get behind this. Because Democrats are not going to help us, because they're looking out for the teachers union, and the teachers union don't want school choice because they're making a lot of money off the public school system. I don't know if people knew this, but in the state of New Jersey, teachers get on average about $55,000 a year, and they get a platinum plus health care plan that's worth more than $31,000 that the state fully subsidizes with taxpayer dollars. And they have a full pension with that same platinum plus health care plan until the day they die, after they retire. And that's where all this money is going to, for education. It's not going to the schools. It's not going to the children. It's going to pay the teachers. So we need to be aware of what's going on out here.
Awesome.
Well, as someone who is a former principal and recent, I buy some of what you just said, but some of it I do not buy. Any place where you live, maybe that might be the case. But in southern states, my problem is that if the money was really coming to and being supportive of the schools, in the county where I live here, we had a brand new school. 72 schools were either renovated or brand new. I was blessed to have been the principal of the brand new school. My thing was, the money that we are being drained from the public school system to support these charter schools, pour it back into the public school system, because the majority of us growing up went to public schools. People who are in leadership in the country, unless they were extremely wealthy and had private school tutoring and education, governors, legislators, whatever your job may be, we all went through public schools, and we've worked hard to make sure that the reforms don't come into these areas. I guess my thing is that in some of the situations, like you described, where the criminal element and everything is in the community, that's a community problem that must be addressed, and if it goes on for decades, it hasn't been addressed. And so I agree with you on that. Then, you know, kids need to have another choice. But her thing, and I'm going to be very clear, is not about trying to help those of us in the minority communities with this. She is a firm believer in charter school and education that's outside the public school arena. She's also taking money from other places in order to make some of these things happen. To make sure choice is given in these areas. So you need to read her whole record and really aware of what she's doing, because
even with
college and some
logic on this point.
Yeah.
Think about what you're saying. You're saying if you give parents the option, it's not saying you have to take your child out of the public school. It's saying if you want to, you can. And this is with the public school system. And when I say public school system, I'm talking about the teachers union. That's what we're talking about. The reason
I'm not in a
choice, I'm just talking about from the political standpoint. The reason they don't want school choice is they know if parents are given the choice, most parents are going to take the children out of public schools. If the federal government is willing to pay for the tuition to send their children to a private or charter school, I'm telling you right now, probably 90% of parents are taking their kids out of public schools. That's just a fact. And the
we have several charter schools here, and that's not for Spanish going on here. That doesn't happen. No, public school is still a viable option here. And like I said, we had a 72 buildings rebuilt or completely brand new. We have 100-some schools. And
right, but the public schools haven't had to compete yet.
We have quality programs, right.
Right now, the public schools have a default.
That's the word I'm trying to get to. You got to be able to compete. And if you can compete.
And the public schools know they can't compete because they haven't been held accountable. They've been able to get away with low standard of education, not taking things serious because they know they're going to get that federal and state money no matter what. Now they're going to be forced to have to compete and actually provide an education that's going to cause the parents to want to keep their children there. Now they're panicking because they know if that happens, people are going to get out of there because they haven't been doing a good job. Most public schools in the inner cities are terrible.
That might be
the
where you live,
care.
But
I'm telling you, the majority of the country, ma'am.
Yeah.
All right. We kind of like got the picture, and we appreciate all, you know, discussion here. And we got several other topics we're going to cover. And Carla, we do appreciate you.
Well, he does.
Have,
he's got some points on where he's located. But when you can't make general statements like, you know, everybody, 90%, you know, we'll toss numbers around a lot. And I'm saying that that's not the entire picture. And I want him to read everything that this Secretary of Education is doing, because she is dismantling the public school.
I've read the entire school choice policy platform, and what you're trying to do, you're speaking on Democrat teachers union talking points. Teachers union give the Democrat Party a lot of money, and so they put out the talking points you just repeated because they don't want to lose the money. That's what it's all about. This is not about the children. This is not about helping families. The Democrats are looking out for the teachers union, who gives them money. The teachers union looking out, they want to make sure they keep getting all that federal and state money. And what they know is going to happen, if parents are given the option, they know the parents are going to leave. That's what it is, man. It's all about the money.
It is awesome.
Got nothing to do with the kids.
And we're going to end it right there, and we appreciate it.
Right.
We got other topics
we
got to cover, and I do appreciate you calling in. Do appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much. And, you know, that's what I'm talking about, debate, talking. That's what it's all about, discussion. Everybody got their point of view. Some people support these issues. Some people don't support these issues. But we're all about getting it out there. We want you to be informed. We want you to hear. We don't want you to hear one side without hearing the other side, and that's what it's all about, being informed. So I do appreciate the caller for calling in.
I am going to say this. Now, you do know there's a lot of Republicans, the members of the GOP, are also members of teacher unions. I'm not in a union. We don't have unions here, so I can't speak about the unions. I'm speaking about what I know and the experiences I've had.
Exactly. And that's what it's all about. So we just like to have this kind of discussion. We like to be able to do things like this and let everybody have their point of view and share their point of view. All right, let's kind of move forward because we're looking at probably about 17 minutes to go with our time. We're going to move to our political issue because what we just talked about was a little of what was coming up about education being rigorous, demand high expectation, and promoting excellent opportunity. That's what we're talking about. Whatever the opportunity is going to be, we're here to hear what you have to say, let it be shared, and we move forward. We're going to look at the political situation, and we want to talk about this. That's why I wanted to get off that subject and get to this subject, dealing with the special report submitted by Mueller on collusion. Tell me what y'all think based on what all the communication has been coming out since that report was handed over to the Attorney General. And I want each and every one of my co-hosts to kind of share their thoughts on it. And we're going to, you know, we just need to respond and see how we feel on this end. We're going to be informed as we share it with it. Whoever's first, let's go with it. We're going to talk about that report and the significance of it. Conclusion.
haven't been privy to the conclusion or the final report. It has not been publicized to my knowledge. What I do hear is there was no collusion. However, we have not received a public report.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And today, the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, blocked the resolution or the efforts from the Democrats to have the report made public to everyone. He is not going to bring it forth. So I don't know if we'll ever see the entire report. What we have now, from my understanding, is that we have the new Attorney General's summary of the report, and where he made the decision that he was not going to go with the obstruction of justice, and that there's no conclusion on that yet. They left it up in the air, and that he made the decision. Mueller left it up in the air, which no one can understand why. And he and Rod Rosenstein, it's pronounced Stein, not Sting, made the decision, and it came to the Attorney General, the new one, Barr, that he decided that there was no obstruction of justice. And it was our understanding that it was supposed to go to Congress, the report, for any decisions like that to be made, but he did an unprecedented and made this decision. So we don't know where it stands.
And I think we spent a whole lot of time, and I'm being and money to kind of get where we are today, where we could have been using that energy for something else. And I'm saying that because whatever was happening, we need to have a report. The public's not getting a report to decide whether or not it was collusion, because that's what they was looking for. It was anything else, I don't think they can look at, because it was nothing to do in essence with what they was trying to find. I'm just saying $25 million to find that is no collusion with the Russian government. And a lot of people lied. I'm quite sure on both sides they didn't lie. So I'm just saying, what exactly is the significance of it? No, it's not final, but it says no collusion, so that means it was no collusion. We can say obstruction of justice, a lot of things, but what was the purpose of this report and all this money and all these witnesses and the people who went to jail and the ones that should have went to jail and the ones that ain't been to jail, all of this? Well, here we are. Where we are, we're not comfortable in this country. We taking sides. It may be created that way. I just want us to see what was the purpose of this 22-month investigation, and you come out and make that kind of report. I know you said Attorney General, Scarlett said Attorney General made the decision, but Mueller said in his report it was no collusion. So I don't know. I just want to
know.
A public person. Uh-huh.
The Attorney General. The Attorney General said no collusion. We don't know what's in the report and what Mueller said in that report. Barr provided a summary, a written summary, that was his opinion. The Attorney General.
That's right.
Okay, but would you think that if Mueller had anything different to say, he would say and not let them say that? I'm just saying I want to know how this worked, because I'm not getting a clear understanding. I'm just getting sides on sides. I want to know how it worked. If Mueller did his report and gave it to the Attorney General, and for him to make a decision on it based on his report, why, if it's not his report, Mueller, why is he not responding to it?
And I think that's a good point you're asking, because I feel the way you do. I feel like, you know, he should have just really been conclusive in his findings, in his report that he sent to the Attorney General. I really didn't think, because Barr had already written this in order to get the job to him prior to become the actual attorney general in place now. And then today it came out that his son-in-law has been appointed back 45 for a position in the government. And I forgot what position it is, but his son-in-law, the new attorney general's son-in-law, has been appointed and accepted an appointment in this administration. Now, come on now, y'all.
Correct. Correct. And that's what I'm saying. Barr was appointed by the administration. And he said when he was appointed, he did not believe, now, not in his words, but these are my words, that there was any collusion. And so he summarized or wrote a letter that there was no Russian collusion. However, I'm not sure when and at what point Mueller will speak. Perhaps he will be subpoenaed to speak. I don't know.
Well,
but
I think they're going to have to subpoena him and the attorney general, because it's obvious that if Mitch McConnell is not going to let this come to a vote to get it out to the public, the entire report, that's what was put on the floor today, he has blocked it. He is not going to let the entire report come out to the public. And I think from what you said about the, you know, $25 million, we are entitled to the entire report and not just the attorney general's summary.
Correct. Because
so
I
let me ask you, why was the report not put out for public to view it? And I'm not. We forget to say a bar and all that. Why didn't Mueller put that report out for the public to review it?
Because he followed
the protocol
was provided for him. He followed the protocol.
What he was.
It was not his.
He followed
decision.
Exactly what it was. Go ahead on.
It was not his individual decision to put that report out there. I think he had to follow a certain protocol.
He has to follow the DOJ's procedures, and he had to go through the channels, which was to the person that appointed him, which is Rod Rosenstein. He had to go bring the report to him, which went on all the way up to this new attorney general. That's the DOJ's procedures. He just can't put it out in the public, you know, like you or I could do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we can give our personal or professional opinion. Apparently, he's bound by some direction or some law, what have you, to remain silent until
he. Okay, go ahead. I'm going on. Go ahead on, Liv.
I said until he may be subpoenaed to talk. And just think about it now. The people in Congress hadn't seen the report. Only one or two people.
That's correct.
And so those one or two people were appointed by the president.
And everybody's doing victory laps today about it. And I think you need to be careful how you do victory laps, because everything is not absolute. This is not a dictatorship. This is not a kingdom. This is not ruled by, particularly in the Senate, and the people at the midterm election spoke. This is why we need a divided government to provide the oversight, because oversight has not been done in the last 2 years. And so now there's a lot of oversight. They're trying to get down, you know, and get documents or whatever. He is not releasing those from the White House. So they got their work cut out for them. And this is, it's just very difficult. And it's very, very disheartening to know that we live in a country and we can't find out whether or not our leader has, like you said, colluded with a foreign government against this country. And I wrote something today that, you know, that specifically said that no one is above the law. regardless of what you think. But it sends a message to the rest of us that maybe there are some people who are above the law. Mm-hmm. And if you have money and you navigate through the justice system and, you know, you're networking, you know, through the justice system and you know somebody influential, maybe there is above the law.
Oh, yeah.
Justice is not blind.
There is
above the law. Justice is not blind when you start doing that. Justice is not blind.
Yeah.
It's not fair to those of us who feel like you have to do the right thing. And for those who have gone through the justice system, you know, can you imagine, you know, golly, what kind of break do you get if you got money? If you don't have it, it's a different justice system.
Yeah, you get a big
break. They get a lot of breaks. They get a lot of breaks, and let's keep it real.
You can buy
freedom. Let's keep it real. That's right. If you have money to purchase, get you an attorney to represent you and not get a legal aid person for now. It was always there because if we could afford as an African-American person when we committed a crime and pay for that attorney who fee was outrageous, then we're going to end up serving time. Whereas that person that do have that money, they're going to be able to get off. And it's always been that way. So I think what I want to get down to the bottom of everything that's going on and let it be laid out regardless what side is on. I just wanted to get some point where we can move forward because I don't think we're moving forward now. So my point is
we're
divided country. And that's my only concern. It's too much on both sides. And we got to realize until we come together and decide to be one and quit trying to do this, one the party trying to do this, another party trying to do this, we're going to be in this situation. And it's not going to stop now. You had it divided even when in 2012, you had it, 2008,
right.
You had it divided. We keep forgetting about in Congress some of the things they did. We keep forgetting about how nothing was passed for the first 3 years, and the only time things was passed during Obama administration was in his second. Forget
right.
It was divided, and he had a Republican, both houses. So my point is not just all his eight-year term. So my thing is it's something we got to get over, and someone has to take a step back and say it's time for it to get over. But we have about 2 minutes, so we're not going to be able to get to everything. We have about 2 minutes, and let me say this. The last thing I wanted to share was first-name basis. I saw this article, and it said first-name basis. It was written by a young lady up in Birmingham, not so fast, please. And the question might be asked, what exactly are you talking about? Are we just now just on where we use first-name basis? We don't use this. Normally how we was brought up, the traditional, when I meet you, Mr. John, Black, if it's Dr. Smith, or we look to find out what your first name is. Hey, Scarlett, you don't know me, but you calling me Scarlett. You don't know me, you calling me Olivia. So the article's written is we have forgotten about that, but is a possibility we need to put a hold on it and stop it right there and try to move toward keeping some of these old traditions. What y'all think? We got about 2 minutes to talk about it. In regards to first name, everybody been on first name basis.
I'm a traditionalist, and I believe in old school with a new school twist added to it. I believe in giving respect. And I have said to people, you know, when they would call me, you know, at school or whatever, I said, look, I really don't know you. Are you a friend of mine or something like that? You know, that type of thing. And I would do it not in a mean way, but just kind of remind them, hold it here. You know, let's establish some type of relationship before we go and get too familiar. But this is how it is seemed to come out from the top. Nancy, she's a Speaker of the House. Andrew, he's the Attorney General. Robert, this type of thing, or just the last name Mueller. We've lost that, and this is one thing that, you know, we need to get back to making sure that our children learn the proper etiquette and things of that nature that's going to take them far in life. And there's still a lot of old school people out here. You know, everyone's not under 50. And we need to remember that, and we need to show respect. And I even do that even with younger people, you know, folks that I do not know. And if you're a doctor,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to call you Lorenzo. You know, I would say doc or comically doc or whatever, you know, but that's how it's brought up.
Well,
exactly.
I too am a traditionalist. I believe in elder courtesy. I believe that we should respect our elders where they stand. They are our teachers. And see, that's another thing. We don't respect our teachers. And these are the people
mm-hmm.
who are teaching us.
Mm-hmm.
Elders, they teach us about life and how to go forward. So I think it's critical that we do. I mean, I'm a traditionalist as well. And, you know, with my nieces and nephews, some may call me aunt, some may call me by my nickname. But my nickname is okay. However, don't call me by my first name.
Exactly. Exactly. And let this our millennial share her thoughts on that. Lauren, what do you think about that first name basis?
Yes. I think I have a problem with that. Well, I used to. People used to meet me because I'm so, well, I look younger than what I actually am. And when they finally found out my name, it was in the beginning when I first started coaching. I did get called by my first name. But that quickly ceased, and it's a respect that goes around the city. So now, you know, I'm always called Coach Lauren. I'm never called Lauren, especially by a 17, 18-year-old kid. I'm never called Lauren. I'm always called Coach Lauren. But that came with me just having to, like, lay the law down. Like, I'm not your friend. We're not the same age. I'm not your sister. I'm not your auntie. Like, it's a respect that you're going to give me because I'm going to give you the same respect. If I don't know your name, I'm not going to say, hey, boy, come here. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask, what's your name, son? And you'll tell me 3 or 4 times. If I don't get it, I'll say, excuse me, get him, sir. Can you please come here, sir? I never call nobody boy. I never call them out their name. I never joke on their name because that's all you're coming to where you leave with one thing. That's your name. That thing go with you, stay with you, and people got to respect it. So I think it's this new generation would call it. I've heard kids call their parents by their first name. And I'm like, what? Like, I do it now jokingly, but it's not me calling my parents the first name all the time. That's not going to happen. So I think we need to kind of enforce that as parents into our kids. You know, that's a respect thing. That has nothing to do with it. It's a respect.
Right. And how can you, as a leader, lead your team, you know, if they don't recognize you as being the coach? I'm leading. And so I respect the fact that you're Coach Lauren, you're Coach Smith.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I had kids whose parents would call my custodians by their first names, and I just had to have a meeting with the entire staff about that. Everyone in this building, regardless of what work they do here, is part of this village, is part of this team. And
exactly.
Mrs. Turner is not Ernestine. It is Mrs. Turner.
Correct.
Every school did not have that culture, but we had that culture within the school that I led. And I thought it was very important because, again, it goes back to the dignity of work. Because you're cleaning the floors, it doesn't mean that you're less respected than the people who are walking on them.
Exactly. Wow.
That's
something to think about. That speaks a lot about what's going on. But you know, we're at the end of our show and we're so excited. Well, I tell you, team, y'all hit a home run tonight. And I do appreciate you all, and I appreciate that caller that called in, you know, and shared his thoughts and what he's dealing with in his area. All the way from Virginia Beach, Virginia. So where I tell you, we're spreading our arms out. We're people are listening all over the world, and we're so glad to have you listening. Now, We're about to close the show, and I'm going to ask each one of the co-hosts to share some positive thing or however they want to close it out. Then I'll get ready to wrap it up because it's time to call it quits for right now until we'll be back in 2 weeks. Who's going to be first?
Oh, I'll go. I always seem to wind up going. We'd like to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. This has been an exciting show. We always have such lively discussion. We'd like to thank Mr. David from Virginia Beach for calling in. In fact, my former superintendent of schools here was a superintendent or went to Virginia Beach as a superintendent there. So thank you, sir, for calling in. While we may not agree on everything, it's okay to agree and disagree. I respect his thoughts, and hopefully he respected my thoughts, but there are some things we both had in common that we do agree on, and that's what this show is all about, talking real to you. Call and let us know how you feel, what you think, and this has been a lively discussion again tonight.
Exactly.
So have a good evening, and remember, it's block by block, and we call on this show A Thing is a Thing.
Right. And there you go.
Thing is a thing.
Close it out, Laura. Thing is a thing.
Okay,
close it out, Laura.
I had fun on it tonight. I learned a lot. I listened more than I talked. That's a good way to pick up things, learn. They say God gave you two in one mouth for a reason. So I had a really good time on here. I can't wait to come back in 2 weeks and share some more thoughts with you guys. But y'all have a safe week. Have a safe, sane, and sober week as well as a weekend. And we'll see you back in 2 weeks.
Awesome, awesome. I'm going to tell you, that wraps it up. All I want to tell you is that as we get ready to close every time, hashtag keep on grinding. And lastly but not least, as we talk about communicating for understanding is the hashtag. But I always tell everybody as I shut the show down and call it quits for the night, but we will be back on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time with Talking Sports Plus, joining with the four co-hosts. That's Coach Smith, Coach Edwards. We have a guest on there, Coach Starworth, as well as our radio personality, Daryl E. Train Elliott. So we'll have a guest, Ms. Rosalind Grant. She'll be out of Pensacola. She's going to be calling, talking about fitness. So it's, are you ready to be fit? That's the show on Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. But you have an awesome time. Close the rest of the night out, and we will check you out on Wednesday, and you check us out. So as I close it out like I normally do, I feel like we're number one. So I like to wrap it up with number one. We don't own the rights to the music. And I love you. And ain't a thing you can do about it. Have a awesome
yeah,
time.
Baby. Yeah.
There you go. The rest of the
back
night.
Again.
That's right.
Luda.
Yeah.
Feel it. Get meaner and meaner each time, baby. Feeling real good, too.
Holla at him.
What up, Uncle Faith? I'm a bull in this industry, man. Some would rather run down and get one cow. I think I'd rather walk down and get them all. You know what I'm talking about, right? Look, I'm never going nowhere, so don't try me. My music sticks in fans' veins like an IV. Flows poison like ivy. Oh, they grimy. Already offers on my sixth album for labels trying to sign me. Respected highly. Hi, Mr. O'Reilly. Hope all is well, kiss the plaintiff and the wifey. Drove through the window, the industry supersized me. Now the girls see me in the rivers, what they cry me. I'm on the rise, so many people despise me. Got party ammunition for those trying to surprise me. It's a celebration and everyone should invite me. Roll with the crew or meet the flora like Dora. These swipers can't swipe me. My whole aura so mean in my white tee. Nobody light skinned is rapping harder than Ice T. You disagree, take the Tyson approach and fight me.
Whoa, don't slip up or get cut.
Why not, man?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
All right.
Woo. Rappers swearing their own tub.
But
I'm coming for that number one spot.
All right, man.
Scheme, scheme, plot, plot.
Say what?
Coming for that number one spot.
Yes, indeed. Ludacris, I'm hotter than Nevada. Ready to break the steering column on your Impala. If I get caught, bail out Popo, I tell him holla. In court, I never show up like Austin Powers, Faja. Father, father, and hey, I love gold. But can buy anything I want from the records I'm sold. Jacuzzi hot, crystal is so cold. Neighbors catch contact from the blunts that I roll. A pig in a blanket, a smoke. until my hand breaks. Then shag now and shag later till these women can't stand straight. The Ludermeister got them feeling so randy. I'm dead. Brush my shoulder and I pop my collar, cause I'm worth a million gazillion for billion dollars.
Whoa, don't slip up or get cut.
Why not, man?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
All right.
Woo. Rappers swearing they own tub.
This a master, make music for mini-me's, models, and fat bastards. These women trying to get me out my pelly-pellies.